MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, Reconciliation Day has delivered another brutal reminder of how bold South Africa's criminal underworld has become. The daylight killing of well-known broadcaster DJ Wadas in Johannesburg comes just days before the burial of Marius van der Merwe, known as Witness D in the Madlanga Commission. It's a case that has raised serious concerns about witness intimidation and organized crime. And I would suggest these are not just random acts. It seems they point to a sophisticated, well-resourced criminal ecosystem now operating more openly and with apparent renewed confidence. So I want to discuss what this means for public safety, the state of the private security industry in South Africa as well. Is there a link there? And I can think of no better person to talk to than Chad Thomas, organized crime investigator at IRS Forensic Investigations. Chad, a very warm welcome to you. Let's start with the broad canvas, if we can. I mentioned in the introduction, these are not random acts. What's happening here? What is all of this pointing to? What's your assessment?
Look, I'm still in a bit of shock with the news coming out of the assassination of Wadas yesterday. He's not just a well-known media personality, but he'd also moved into the security space, the space we see a lot of people moving into, a lot of people that I think have the right intentions, but also a lot of questionable people moving into the space. We've seen over the years that taxi bosses have bought up security companies through proxies so that they can fight literally turf wars using each other's security companies. It gives access to legitimate weapons. We've seen these same taxi owners hire out their staff as Izinkabi. These vehicles aren't stocked on the road because they are registered to security companies. They're branded, they're marked. People aren't questioned for carrying large caliber firearms and rifles. And we've noted with concern over the few years that a lot of bad actors have infiltrated the industry under the pretext of so-called VIP protection, whereas in actual fact, it's to have one's own personal militia to settle business disputes. And it's far easier to settle a business dispute these days with a bullet or with extortion or in threats than with going through the protected civil process.
Do you think then, Chad, that South Africa's private security sector is properly managed, controlled, and vetted? Or do you think it's becoming increasingly and more dangerously porous?
It's a very interesting question that the very first legislation around security in South Africa came about in 1987 when the Security Officers Board Act was established. That act stayed in place until 2001 and was replaced by the Private Security Industry Regulation Act, which established an organization called CIRA, which is the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. They're the statutory body. They're the custodian of the act. And one of the persons that sits on their board is the Deputy Minister of Police. And ultimately, CIRA answers to the Departments of Police. So it's a very interesting dynamic that the private sector is in sense managed by components of the South African Police Service, albeit there is no formal relationship. There are a couple of MOUs like BACSA has called E2 and CCIN has, but there's no formalized relationship between the private sector and the public sector, yet they answer to the same minister. It's exceptionally interesting. Another interesting dynamic is that the industry's grown exponentially from the 1990s and in essence replaced policing in suburbia. People with money can afford private security. People that don't have money are the victims of crime because they don't have private security patrolling informal settlements, patrolling different areas in the CBD and in places where there isn't sufficient money to be able to hire protection. And that's sad because the protection of the citizenry of our land is mandated for the state to be responsible for. It's a constitutional requirement, yet we're seeing more and more security being outsourced. We're now sitting at 2.2 million registered security officers, of which between 600,000 and 800,000 are operational. There's tens of thousands of security companies operating. And herein lies a problem. When you've got so many companies vying for the same work, they start undercutting one another. They start using unregistered, untrained individuals, which is a criminal offense. They start taking out competition. We've seen it on the mines in Mpumalanga. We've seen it with the buildings in Heilbrow. We've seen it with the clubs in Cape Town. So the organizations that are meant to be looking after us, that are meant to be taking up the slack where we see issues within the policing, those particular organizations in the private security sector themselves are now being infiltrated by bad actors.
So what I'm hearing you say, Chad, is that we've seen this rapid growth of private security, which is obviously outpacing regulation and oversight, which raises the question about whether the industry can now realistically police itself, or we need far tougher state control, but that doesn't seem to be forthcoming.
CIRA has the money. You must understand that every single security officer in the individual capacity and every single security company has to pay a fee to CIRA to be able to operate lawfully. They have to be trained at a CIRA-regulated training facility or receive recognition of prior learning, and they have to be vetted so that they don't have criminal records. Sam Chauke, who heads up CIRA, is doing the job of trying to ensure that the industry is policed correctly, but it's not happening simply because they haven't invested enough in resources. Now, what's very interesting is that an inspector from CIRA has full peace officer status. That means that they have the same functions as a police officer. So if an inspector from CIRA comes out and inspects and finds something unlawful taking place, he can make an arrest, take the suspects to the local police station, and they can be charged. At the same time, we've seen that CIRA has got their own internal prosecutors who are working to try clean up the industry. There's just not enough of them. And what we're also finding is that CIRA concentrates on the low-hanging fruits. In other words, registered security companies, they know where they're operating from. They may have fallen foul of compliance or governance on one or two issues. They will be raided. But the actual bad actors that are not registered, that are using undocumented immigrants to supply security services, it's difficult to find them. And in some instances, perhaps it's scary to confront them because you're dealing with criminals masquerading as security officers. So CIRA needs to seriously up their game. They're a great organization. They've got the capacity to fund further investigations and inspectors. They now need to capacitate.
And how do they do that? How do they up their game?
They need to increase the number of inspectors 10, 20, 30, 40-fold. They need to show that they are not going to go after low-hanging fruit because there's a lot of distrust from the industry. You'll find that a lot of registered security companies will have a complaint submitted against them by a client or a disgruntled ex-security officer who was disciplined and perhaps felt that he was badly done by, and that company will then be raided. It's good that they're being inspected, but they get raided. But when you see complaints being submitted to CIRA of unregistered security companies operating, it's very rare that you see them actually investigating who the ultimate beneficial owners are. They'll go to car parks, they'll go to nightclubs, they'll raid, they'll find the unregistered security officer standing outside, they'll arrest them, but they won't investigate further as into who's benefiting from placing these unregistered security officers on the beat. And therein lies a massive problem. So CIRA is doing their job. If you follow CIRA on social media, every single day you'll see them post a disruptive and dismantling operation where they've come across unregistered car guards or they've come across unregistered bouncers. But what we are not seeing are the masterminds who are behind this, who are setting up proxies to buy security companies, to find legitimate firearms, and then to undercut legitimate security companies who are paying the correct rate to their security officers and not exploiting them. Because one must always remember, security has a massive human factor. And if you're not looking after that product, if you're not paying that product what they should be getting paid, they are going to become a problem.
And what do we know, Chad, of these masterminds? Who are they?
It seems like everybody's jumped onto the bandwagon. It's unbelievable. Everybody's seen a gap within the security industry. This comes down to our criminal justice system. When you see that SAPS cannot provide a service any longer, when you see the low conviction rates of cases that are enrolled, it means that the security industry grows and the security industry becomes a viable investment for both good actors as well as bad actors. Bad actors because they can use legitimacy of hiding behind a security company to extort on behalf of business forums, the so-called construction mafias, water mafias, etc. And at the same time, you see that the bad actors want access to legitimate weapons so that they can settle their squabbles. They can settle their scores using their militias. There was an incident in Sandton about 2 years ago where two rival security company owners that were vying for security of the clubs, because if you control the door at the club, you control what gets dealt inside that club if that club is dealing drugs. They were vying for control of these. It landed up in a shooting and one of those guys got killed. Later turned out that that particular security company owner was one of the people wanted in the Marumo Peña assassination. So we're now seeing security companies using their people actively in the underworld to conduct hits.
Thomas, thank you very much indeed. A very disturbing situation. Organized Crime Investor at IRS Forensic Investigations. I do appreciate your time. Thank you so much.